and circumstance sometimes that we tend to go through on a given Sunday because we feel obligated. But God, we're here just because we want to be, because we love you so much and we want to worship you and give to you and fellowship and hear the word. So God, never let our first love ever leave us. Help us to love you first and foremost. And then you said to love your neighbors yourself, and that's what this series is all about. So I would pray that you would speak through me. Help me to convey the message that you have in your word very simply to those that have ears to hear today, so that we learn to love more effectually for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, Paul writes this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. For against such things there is no law. That's a powerful statement. Love is mentioned first in Galatians here, because each of these other fruits proceed from love. All of the other fruits that we read about here in Galatians, after love is mentioned first, come from love. Well, how do you know that, Pastor? Because God is love. 1 John tells us God is love. So everything proceeds from God. And so all the attributes and all of the characteristics and all these other things that we embrace as a part of God's love come and flow from the love of God and that love that He's placed within us. So if God is love and He's put His love in our hearts, shed abroad by the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit puts it in there and sheds it abroad so that we do all these things. Then these attributes, these characteristics will and should supernaturally, I won't say naturally, but supernaturally become evident in a Christian's life. If you are a Christian and God is love and God lives in you, hello, if I squeeze you, you should ooze joy. Goodness, all of these things that we've read about, right? Because joy, even though I know joy's sitting right there, there's another joy. Joy is the expression of love, wouldn't you say? Joy is love that's expressed. Peace is the realization of love. If you really feel loved, you're going to have that peace. Patience, that's the endurance of love. That means love lasts because you're patient. Okay? Love, endurance, patience is the endurance of love. Kindness would be what? The administration of love. If you're kind, you're going to administrate love to the brethren. And even not the brethren, even those that aren't saved. You give kindness away. It's an administration of and from love, which is God, right? Goodness. Well, that's the character of love. If you think about love, love is good. You know, love is good and it's kind, like we've just talked about. So these are you just have to picture God, and He's the embodiment of love. And that love is in your heart now, wanting to be shed abroad to your hands and to your feet, to express it administratively, right, in kindness, to express it in your countenance with goodness and your gestures with goodness. This is what this is all about. You know, the peace that comes over you in a very difficult circumstance is because you just know that you're loved by God and you're with Him for eternity. That alone should set peace in your heart no matter what comes our way. And the expression of love being joy, we should walk around smiling like Amy, who's about to get married in another, how many hours? 6, 4 hours, 3 minutes, 2 seconds, I know. She's got it a countdown, I know she does. But that's where joy comes from, is because we share, there's unity in the body of Christ, and we get joyful about the things that you're joyful about. And we share these attributes. Of course, faithfulness is the response of love. Boy, that's huge. Because see, we always emphasize obedience, 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 obedience. You know what? Obedience will just happen. Faithfulness, being faithful to God is obedience. Faithfulness will happen when that love is shed abroad in you and someone squeezes you. When they push your faithfulness button. When faithfulness is required, you will be in showing yourself. That's being a mature Christian. Now, we don't always do that. Praise God for Jesus. Thank God we're forgiven over and over and over again. But when I push a Christian's button or I squeeze you, faithfulness and patience should come out. Goodness should come out of you. Kindness should just seep out of you. That's when people meet people and they go, my gosh. That's when they want to come to Christ, is when they see someone who's oozing the fruit. And it's good fruit. It's not rotten. It tastes good. It looks good. It feels good. Bitterness and stubbornness and rebellion, that doesn't look, taste, or feel good. It only hurts. So we're talking about love now, and out of love comes this peace and kindness and endurance and goodness, faithfulness. Oh, but what about gentleness? It's the disposition of love. Gentleness is your disposition. When someone has a disposition and they're gentle, the first thing you think about them is the goodness and then the love, and then it takes you to God. Because God's people should have a gentleness to them as Jesus did. And then finally, self-control or temperance. Obviously, is the control of love. That's the control of your love. There's some places when your love is what? Is it ever held back, do you think? In our relationships with one another, it is. God's love, the agape love that's in your heart, is for everyone, no matter what happens to you, no matter what you do. But when we come to phileo love, friendship love, that love that we give to one another requires a response. If it's going to be a strong friendship or a weak one or not even one that's there. See, we're required to love people, but not necessarily they're going to be our friends. So we have to remember that love, self-control, or temperance is the control of that love. Because if we feed love to people that are being rebellious to God or disobedient to God or are in your life and doing all those things, you are now doing what? You're putting love in an area where, well, oh, that's just going to cure them. No. God is going to cure them. We're supposed to exhibit love at all times, but love that's out of control, love that doesn't have boundaries, love that's not tough at times will produce stubborn, rebellious, obnoxious, mostly we relate it to children, but even friends, right? When someone's in rebellion and doing something wrong and we feed that, we're not helping them. There's boundaries, and that's all self-control is as a product of love that I'm trying to say here. So one of the nicest things about the fruits of love is how God designed them to take care of all of the disappointments. I'm going to say it again. The nicest things about the fruits, all these fruits of love, is how God designed them, He put them in us, to take care of all the disappointments that are inherent, or what should I say, common to Christian life and service. If you're a Christian and you're leading a Christian life, and you're in service to God, there's going to be disappointments. It's part of the Christian life. And God has placed these fruits in us to deal and take care of these disappointments. Because the disappointments are inevitable. There are letdowns. Has anybody ever been let down in here? There are letdowns, there's reversals, things you thought were supposed to go this way, all of a sudden you wake up and go, my gosh, they're heading in the opposite direction. Letdowns, reversals, failures, come on, misunderstandings, lots of misunderstandings with Christians, heartaches, all this is part of the Christian life. The Greek translation of Romans 5:5 actually says this, unfulfilled hopes do not disappoint us. When we're a Christian, unfulfilled hopes do not disappoint us because of the love of God. So that means when God sows His love in us and these attributes exist within us, even when we're disappointed or let down or what are some of the other things we said, reversals and failures happen because God is abiding in us. He lives and moves and has His being within us by His Spirit. We're able to overcome. We're able to actually take that thought captive and exhibit godliness so that the world will see that what's in us is greater than what's in the world and they'll come to Christ. If we act like everybody else out of disappointment and on failure and all of that stuff, why come to your church? Why know the God you know? The Holy Spirit is the one who makes us evident to other people. It's certainly not us. So Romans 5:5 says, unfulfilled hopes do not disappoint us because of the love of God. You see, it's continually, it says, this verse continues on and says, it's continually being poured out within our hearts, that is Holy Spirit being poured out, who is continually being given to us. What does that mean? Well, we get Him upon conversion, but He is continually being poured out of us, and He's expressed out of us as we are what? Filled with His presence instead of dwelling on those negative things. So there's going to be people that are going to argue with you about baptism and being filled. I believe you're baptized, you're fully immersed in the Holy Spirit when you get saved. But we can constantly, day by day, be filled with His Spirit. And that means that we are filled and then we express through these means by which we just said. As the Holy Spirit is constantly pouring out of us, filling our hearts and coming out of us. That's the Christian life. We receive God's love and the Holy Spirit does His thing inside of us and we express God's love. There's this heaven to earth to heaven to earth to heaven expression of thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if we'll get that, we won't get caught up in the theology of, well, what is baptism? What is being filled and stuff like that? Bottom line is you got the Holy Spirit if you're a Christian and He wants out. He wants to stay in, but He wants out. He wants everybody to see what's within you that's of God. That's the whole reason He's here, so that God can be glorified. It's certainly not for you. Not just for your personal benefit to build your little kingdom on earth. The Holy Spirit is representing heaven. And if you yield 100%, then heaven is being revealed and people are getting saved. But the more we harbor these opposite things, the Holy Spirit, we quench the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, that's when things get tough and people don't want necessarily see the God that you see. Or they don't see the God that you see. I hope you get that. Love and all these attributes are just an expression of Holy Spirit in you, who's being shed abroad in you so that He can be shed from you. And the more we do that, the more witness we will have. That's what that scripture is kind of saying. Poured out within our hearts, continually being given to us. If it were not for the power of God's love, disappointment would overwhelm us. Amen? If it wasn't for the power of God's love, when we get disappointed, it would just shatter us. And you've seen those people. I've got somebody in my life who, even as a Christian right now, who's been so disappointed that it's shattering him. Because he's not experiencing the love of Jesus Christ. So I'm trying to stand in there and continually feed through his heart the love of God. Even though I keep hearing all of the things that are negative and this and that, and he's not getting it and all that, I can't stop. Because he's another person who could get saved like I was. Thank God no one stopped praying for me. Disappointment would overwhelm us without it. Without love, no matter how beneficial we think we are to others, the Bible says we amount to nothing. I'm going to say it again. Without love, no matter how beneficial you think you are to other people, if you do not have love, you have nothing. You are a noisy gong. You may think that you're being fruitful. You may think you're accumulating things. You may think you have favor of the other person, etc. But without love, there will always be a void in you and in the other person. That can only be filled by God. That's how He wired you. Don't blame me. That's His doing. He created you to love. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, wow, that'd be cool. But though do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. But if I have the gift of prophecy, now I'm all right. No, no. Even if I have the gift of prophecy and I know all mysteries, and that's a biggie, knowing all mysteries. And if I have all knowledge, that's even, wow. And even if I have all faith, and you know, faith can move mountains, folks. But I don't have love. God says, you're nothing. So that means without love, all the patience that you have for people, because there's a lot of ungodly people that have patience, endurance, kindness, and goodness, right? I've met a lot of people who are that way. They're just such kind philanthropists and wonderful people. And I know my dad said one day, if those people aren't in heaven, I mean, how can I believe in a God? And I said, Dad, I pleaded with him. I said, people like that are not going to be in heaven. Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. Without him, they're not going to heaven, no matter how good and faithful they are. Or nice. Yeah, doesn't matter. It's only one way. God made it that way. We can't change that. And if I give of all my possessions, okay, now let's really get to it. And I feed the poor and I surrender my body to be burned as a martyr, but I do not have love, it profits me nothing. Pretty powerful. Love obviously matters. Love for God, and as we progress in this series a little bit further, you're going to see when we get into it, love for others. Friendships, if you will. This is why many dutiful Christians, or should I say duty-filled Christians, are joyless. Think about it. This is why many duty-filled, right? That's what dutiful is. We're just full of duty and we're serving God everywhere and doing all those things and prophesying and all of those things that we're required to do and setting up church services and funerals and marriages and counseling things and all the other things that we do, or you do, might not, but I do, and some of you do. All of these things, duty-filled. Without love, we can be joyless. We do it because we're called to do it. But the first calling that we have in our life is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit, and to love our neighbors ourselves. If we don't do those two things, all the other things that we do are fruitless. Those are the two greatest commandments, Jesus said. Upon those two commandments, every commandment sits. Don't be duty-filled without joy. We've seen a lot of Christians like that. Sourpusses. Who are doing the work of the ministry and you'd never even know they had a bit of joy or love in their heart.
That's right.
They have lost the motivation of love and replaced it with a sense of obligation. Oh, this is what God wants. I better do it. No, this is what God wants. Give me the heart of joy and love to be able to desire to do it because I want to please my daddy. Revelation 2, verses 2 through 4. I know your deeds. Now remember, this is Jesus walking amidst his own church. He was with John and he was walking through the churches and says, this is what I see. I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance and that you cannot tolerate evil men. That's good. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles and they're not. And you found them to be false. Yay, great discernment. Wonderful. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Wow. That is an awesome, awesome resume. Oh, but there's always one last line. I have this against you, that you have left your first love. These are the dutiful Christians who are doing all these wonderful things for Christianity, and yet they have not love. Therefore, that profits them nothing. He says, you better at the end of that thing find that first love, or your lampstand's going to be what? Removed. That's a whole nother sermon I'm not getting into today. Powerful words about love. And the importance of love. Folks, churches can completely agree in all matters of doctrine, in all matters of practice, but if they lack love, they have no real unity or conformity. They can be completely agreeing on matters of doctrine and practice, but if there's no love, there's no unity, no conformity, you're a religious institution with good doctrine, great service. Colossians 3:14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Love connects us as Christians better than anything that I could possibly do for you. Financially, miraculously, healing, deliverance, even with all that that can be offered from Christian to Christian, the perfect bond of unity is what God considers the best. Because love covers a multitude of sins. I believe love provides deliverance. I believe love gets people healed. I believe love can do a lot of things that we can't do by just simply laying on of hands. Unless we're laying on those hands in love. And maybe that's why, because love has grown cold in so many places today, and we see it in the Christian faith. There's pastors dropping out like flies. There's churches that are failing. The young millennials, or they're not being drawn into the church and stuff like that. I mean, you can get into the statistics. I think it's mainly because we don't have time for each other. Fellowship has stopped. Love has ceased. We have friendships, but not real deep love. Love is the only power that can unify the church. And boy, loving people can really stretch us. Oh, and rightly so, and I'm going to explain what I mean. 1 Peter 1:22, and I'll ask you to leave it up there, Pam. Just leave 1 Peter 1:22 up there. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere, get that word, sincere, you have purified your souls. You're working on that sanctification process, right? So since you have obedience to the truth, working on that sanctification process, which is purification, right? Your souls, that means your mind, you're going through that metamorphosis. The love of God is being shed abroad in your heart. Your patience is increasing. Your love and your endurance, right? Goodness, it's all, I see more of it in you. You're a work in progress, right? Working out your salvation with fear and trembling, right? Reverence and trembling, right? You're purifying your souls for a, what? Sincere love of the brethren. That means it takes work. You're going through this obedience process. You're working on stuff. Why? Because you want to develop a sincere love of the brethren. Fervently loving one another from where? Your heart. You don't want to go do it out of duty. You don't want to do it out of obligation. Sure, I'm sure there's some part reward for doing things out of obedience. I know I'm doing things out of obedience that I don't have in my heart yet, that I'm praying is going to go from obedience to sincerity. But sometimes it has to start with obedience before it gets sincere. Okay? Generally, sincerity will automatically produce the obedience. But if you don't have the sincerity, it usually starts, right, with the obedience, and then it leads to sincerity because it feels good. It fits. It's how God wired you. You start getting obedient to the things God's called you to, and it fits. The Holy Spirit takes it, sheds it abroad in your heart, and now you're doing it out of your heart sincerely. Whereas before, it was working against what? That soul. I keep saying, now don't worry about that person. You don't like them anyway. You know what I'm talking about. This gets transformed. This mind gets transformed as your heart, as that love begins to be shed abroad in you, and you really sense and feel and go for the other person. You get that love of God, and then you start getting that love of God transferred into the love of people. This is how the process works. So, with that up on the board there, let's define a few words in this scripture according to their Greek meaning so that you get a better understanding of what Peter's saying. The word sincere is the Greek word sincere. Sincere. And that was this is what sincere was. Sincere was the stamp that was put on vessels of pottery that had not been cracked under pressure, then waxed and painted. It was stamped sincere or sincere when the pottery had cracked under pressure, right? And they didn't wax it over and hide the crack. You get it? Because sometimes things crack, and what do? Whoop, let's get a little bit of glue on that thing. Let's cover it over with a little paint. Never see it was there. That's not being sincere. That's not pure. Now it's got a flaw that's been covered up. Women, makeup, come on, right? What does makeup do? All it does is cover it up. It doesn't get rid of it. It's not going over real well here today. I didn't mean it didn't get rid of it, whatever it was, but if you're putting on makeup, I'm putting foot in mouth, but you're trying to cover something up. It's called cover up, for crying out loud. So I'm not off. Trust me. I'm just being honest. But I better shut up, for I'm too honest. Let me get back to this word, sincere. It was a stamp of authentication that this vessel had not been cracked under pressure and waxed over and painted over. Some shop owners who lacked integrity would simply wax over and paint a cracked vessel to make it look like it was without blemish. So sincere means without wax. Spiritually speaking, obviously here, it means a true, pure love without wax. You need to get that. An unhypocritical love. You're not just saying it. You're not just doing it out of obedience. A sincere love means that you sincerely, without wax, without hypocrisy, without underlying motive, I truly love you. That's authentic. That's what he's saying. Out of obedience to the truth, purifying your souls, you are creating a sincere, authentic, unhypocritical love for the brethren. Makes a lot of sense. Let's go to that last word, fervent. Fervently loving one another from the heart. Well, what does that mean? The word fervent here does not mean hot or burning. It does in other passages. That's why you have to know your scripture. But it's not a hot or burning love here. That word would be zeo, which Paul uses in Romans 12:11, if you want to look it up, for fervent in spirit, hot in spirit, okay? Or burning in one's spirit. The word here for fervent used is ektenos, E-K-T-E-N-O-S, ektenos. And so when Peter uses it here, okay, or Romans uses it here, it means stretching. A little different than a fervently hot love that you have, a boiling love for someone, right? It means stretching or a stretched out love. It denotes a continual, intense, adapting love that stretches the one giving it to cover the one receiving it. That means, boy, it's going to be hard to love you, Dan, but I'm going to stretch everything I got in me from the Holy Spirit to reach you and cover you, even though I'm really struggling with this thing and reaching to my utmost to get it there. Come on, you got people in your life that's how you love them. They're, oh, God, I got to love you because it's a commandment and I want to develop it in my heart to be sincere. But right now it's just fervent. It's being stretched to the max. And I know you know what I'm talking about. You have sincere love for some people and you got that stretched love, that fervent love for others, giving it to cover the one receiving it. I like that. That was a cool thing to read. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, above all. I love whenever I get to that, it's been in other passages. You know, you got to stop and think now. Above everything we've said, above all things, right? Keep fervent in your love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. Wow. Keep stretching. Keep stretching because all the junk you're receiving back or stuff you're not getting and this love that you're pouring out but none of it's coming back to you, if you keep stretching fervent for one another, it's going to cover a multitude of sins. Sooner or later, that makeup you put on your face is going to make your face shine, right? If you keep stretching love over somebody, you keep stretching love over somebody, you keep stretching love over somebody, that sinner is going to go, I don't understand that love you have for me. I can't take it anymore. And they get on their knees, right? It covers a multitude of sins. You're not seeing their sin. You're loving them anyway. You're loving them straight through their sin. That brings them to Christ. That's a love that they can't comprehend and they don't understand. The only ones that can do that are Christians. Peter was still a fisherman. And writing from that perspective, he emphasized the stretching forth of his or our net over others, right? Covering them in love, just as Jesus stretched his arms of love out over Peter on the cross. And he did what? He covered his sins. Jesus' love for Peter on the cross, stretching his arms out, covered his sins. Peter likened that to stretching the net. As you stretch the net, your arms have to do what? Extend out. to spread the net in order to cover the multitude of fish. I want you to understand this ektanos, this fervent, stretched out love that we're called to have for others, even when we don't feel like it. So Peter's teaching that love will stretch out of our hearts to others to cover their sins, just as a fisherman's arms are stretched out at the moment of the release of the net, covering the fish. Remember Jesus' words to Peter? Follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Throwing forth the gospel net of love, not jerking them out with a hook. How many of you jerk them out with a hook? We try to do that sometimes. Turn or burn. Obey or be done with. You know, jerk them out. Change or burn. I mean, come on. Throw that gospel net, the gospel of love, because that's what it is. It's the love gospel. Stretch it out, even if you don't think it's going to take root anywhere, it's not going to have any impact on anybody, or the people that have it, oh, well, they don't even deserve it. That's not up to you to decide. God loves all people.
That's right.
Throw the gospel net. That's what Peter's saying. Don't jerk them out with a hook. Don't do it with a bad attitude. All right, come on, let's sit down. I'll tell you a little bit about the Bible. Be the Bible. You don't have to read anything. Just be it for a while. Earn their love and friendship. Then they'll ask you questions. Yeah. Then be ready to have an answer for those who ask you.
Right.
Stay studied up. That's a whole other sermon. Ektanos. Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. It'll give you a fervent love for people. Besides, throw a net, you bring out a whole lot more fish in a day than you do jerking them out with a hook, right? Folks, stretch out your love. Unfortunately, the lasting, enduring love of mature Christian experiences are often absent in our relationships with one another, which then keep them at more of a surface level. Most Christians have surface level relationships. Unless we feel love in our hearts, we simply fail to show it. That's why people keep changing churches all the time. If they don't feel the love, if they don't sense the love, if they don't have those kinds of relationships, they just try to look for them in other places. Do you know why some of these cults have so many followers? Because of love. They love them unconditionally. And they love them so much, and because they're not getting the love from the church, that they're willing to believe or follow whatever they have to say, even though they may not really have it fully grasped. You see that a lot with the Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons, places like that. Love is powerful, but you got to know the right kind of love. That agape love first, and then the phileo love that we talk about with one another. So again, when you don't feel love, you may still choose to walk in it. Unless we feel love in our hearts, we simply fail to show it. So love goes deeper than feeling. It is a choice. I've heard that before. And it is a commitment. You guys are getting married. Love was a choice. Secondarily now, love will be a commitment. Unto death do you part. Well, you know what? It's not just for marriages between a man and a woman. It's our relationships we have with one another. It's a choice. You can choose to love this congregation. You can choose to commit yourself to this body of Christ. Or just keep going to wherever you want to go. But I would sit back and say, Lord, where do you want me? Oh, no, I didn't hear the word ektanos. I didn't hear the word ektanos. You mean you want me to stay where I am and extend my love to this congregation whom I don't even like? Sometimes. Sometimes. You find yourself in places that God wants you instead of where you want you. That's ektanos. That's hearing from God. Unfortunately, we don't always ektanos. It will stretch you to do this, but you will be rewarded. Your stretched out love takes you beyond normal human capacity to love. I'm going to say that again. Your stretched out love, when you are obedient to that, takes you beyond normal human capacity to love into the divine realm of unconditional love. You want to get to agape? Stretch. Take yourself out of phileo, which requires a response, and go beyond the having to have the response and love them anyway, even if they spit in your face or put nails in your hands. Woo! What a bridge, huh? And Jesus showed us the way. Sacrifice. That's what it takes. Stretching out. Getting beyond your humanity. Getting into your spirit. Wow. Ektanos agape means stretched out love. Increases in intensity without diminishing its intensity, and it lasts perpetually. Ektanos agape increases in intensity without diminishing its intensity, and it lasts perpetually. It keeps on going, and it covers our weaknesses. See, Jesus' love covered the anger of a young John. Read about John, and you'll know how he began. Okay? The rudeness of an impulsive Peter. Read about Peter, and you'll understand the rudeness of an impulsive Peter. Love covered John's anger. Love covered the rudeness of Peter in the beginning. The doubt of a wavering Thomas, love covered. And the flaws of all the others, love, Jesus, covered them. We need to learn to love one another with that stretching ektanos love. Last scripture, John 15, 12. This is my commandment, not suggestion, not if you wanna. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved, stretched out on that cross for you. Whew. Folks, love people through their problems and their difficulties. Love them even if they do not receive what you are offering. I'm going to close with this touching story of someone who later regretted not having received what was being offered in love. And this will touch your heart, and we'll close with a song. When James was a young college student, he admired a lovely sports car in one dealer's showroom for a long time. He knew that his parents could afford it and told them that this car is all that he wanted as a gift on his day of graduation. Graduation day came, and Father had called James into his private office. He told him, "I'm very proud to have a good son like you." He told him how much he loved him and handed him a lovely wrapped gift. James felt disappointment. Remember that we said? But he was curious to know what it was. So he opened the box and he saw a leather-bound Bible. "You are so wealthy, and all you can give me is a Bible?" James shouted this at his father with anger, and he left the house. Time passed. James became a successful businessman. He was happily married and had two children. Their family lived in a beautiful house. However, his soul still hurt due to the broken relationship with his father. James did not see him since his graduation day. One day he received a note which told that his father had passed away. According to the testament, he had inherited all of the possessions of his father. When James arrived at his father's house and began to look for some important papers, he accidentally found that Bible. Still gift-wrapped, and sadness had filled his heart. With tears in his eyes, he opened the Bible and read a verse that was underlined by his father. "And if ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to those who ask him?" Suddenly, a car key had dropped from the back of the Bible. He knew it was the keys to the same car that he desired at the time. James also found a tag with the date of his graduation on it and the words, paid in full.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies.